I run, as Lenny said, Google's enterprise business, which some of you may know and some of you may not know. We're, in essence, a startup within Google, and a rather small part of the company compared to that fairly large consumer-facing machine that you probably know about a little bit better. Our basic charter is to take Google technology and channel it into the enterprise in a way that makes sense for the enterprise. And in the time I have with you this morning, I'm going to share with you some thoughts about that opportunity. That opportunity we think is there for Google, but beyond Google, the opportunity really to channel consumer-driven innovation into the enterprise and some of the implications of that. I'm going to speak somewhat about search. That's the one area we feel pretty comfortable that we have something to say about. And I will also sort of talk more broadly about enterprise technology in general, because I think there's a lot of important tie-ins. So to start, I'm going to ask a simple question, which I think is very related or a derivative of the topic I want to talk to you about today. Why is it that the web search market is worth more than $10 billion, while the enterprise search market is worth less than $1 billion? And a simple answer to that might be, oh, this paid search advertising thing is such a phenomenon, and it's really about this incredible advertising model that's developed around search. And I think that's actually not the reason. The reason, in my mind, is that web search has had an amazingly huge impact on people's lives, to the extent where most of us probably would have a hard time getting by without having access to a search engine to do our daily things. Enterprise search has not had nearly that effect. In fact, it's been largely a niche market to date, that really, if the search box disappeared off some of your applications or off your, it probably would not today have that material of an impact on your day-to-day life. I want to talk for a second more broadly about technology. The premise I have really is that in the corporate market, in the enterprise, we're not delivering enough value to end users. There's several constituencies, as anyone who sells enterprise technology is aware of: the business constituency, the IT constituency, and lost in the shuffle somewhere is the end user. And therein, in our view, lies the opportunity. I want to show you a basic dynamic that describes why that is. This is a very simplified version of the technology a buying process, if you will. You have a vendor, you have a business function and an IT function that in some fashion collaborate to make choices of technology, and then somewhere packed behind that you have an end user. And the business and IT functions will of course collect requirements from the end users periodically and make decisions about what technologies they buy, and you might see this cycle repeat itself every 2 or 3 years. And to the extent the requirements are translated very cleanly and they make real good sense, you know, you could deliver an application that may work pretty well for the end users. Let's talk about the consumer world for a second. Here, the end user, in essence, has complete freedom to choose the technology they want. And they can choose it whenever they want, and there's no other input to that decision. That, in effect, leads to what can only be described as a Darwinistic approach to meeting the end user's demands. You either meet that end user's demands or you don't survive as a product or as a company. And if you actually think about search and web search, it's kind of the ultimate form of this because, you know, even a cell phone, I may choose which cell phone I buy and I'll probably stick with it for a year or whatever the buying cycle is these days. But in web search, literally minute by minute, second by second, you are one click away from going from Google to one of our competitors or from one of our competitors to us. So the switching costs are entirely negligible. And that has resulted in, from Google and from our competitors and from a lot of other consumer products, an incredible focus on pleasing the end user and making the product work the way the end user wants it to work. The result of all that is, if you think about innovation in terms of what people like and what people will use, it's really being driven on the consumer side. If you'll see what Apple has done with the iPod, this is the Nano, truly an incredible piece of innovation, of design, of bringing together a service and a hardware product and several other things. Truly amazing. And this is happening all over the world in consumer electronics, in web services, in all sorts of areas. Consumer technology is driving innovation today, and the enterprise is not. If you look at the result of it, it's not just about our products. Here you see one of these things doesn't look like the other. You have an iPod, you have an Xbox from Microsoft, amazing product that had a great Christmas last year. Google Search, not at all about Google here, but consumer products have an incredible draw to them. If they're successful, it's because people are passionate about them, they want to use them. The top right is just your generic enterprise application. It's there, I can use it, I can probably get my expense report done or whatever it is I need to do, but there's nothing resembling passion about using something that looks like that. A bit more about that. Generally, enterprise technology isn't really designed with the end users in mind. It's designed with the business process in mind, and it's typically designed by experts. So if you're going to collect the requirements for a certain new application or business function you need to implement, you're typically going to go to those in the organization who are the experts. And the result is you get a system designed for the experts. And very typically, the RFP is focused on the technology, all about the technology and the bells and the whistles, and not about the end users, and not about what exactly the end user wants to do, needs to do, and the needs of that end user. The other interesting aspect of enterprise technology is that more often than not, what is thought of as innovation or leadership is actually adding to the complexity. When you think about the next version of X, Y, and Z that is leapfrogging its competitor, typically that means more features, more functions, more appealing to those expert users. And every step down that path, you pull that application and that capability away from all the other users, who it becomes more confusing to, more complex, and less useful. And the net effect is that enterprise technology tends to get less user-friendly over time. Take you for a moment through Google history. This is Google from about 1998 in the early days. Probably doesn't look too unfamiliar. In 1999, this was very early on, not many people knew Google, and we brought a whole bunch of users in to use Google so we could watch them and see how they used it, what they did. Sat a whole bunch of people down in front of a computer and had Google there. And they all kind of sat there, and they didn't do anything. And so we said, what are you waiting for? They said, well, we're waiting for the page to load. So at that time, Google decided to add something, which was the copyright mark at the bottom. Absolutely no legal reason for having your copyright at the bottom of our page, but a key indicator to people that this is it. Go ahead. Google has grown over the years, and it does a lot of different things now. It's really raised the expectations of consumers about access to information. For those of us who were around in the technology world 10 or 15 years ago, the difference is night and day between your ability to access information as a consumer from anywhere in the world, any device in the world, at a moment's notice. The idea of trudging to the library, the idea of pulling out the encyclopedias is almost comedic these days, because the access to information is incredible. These are actual Google users. I don't have their last names, but I tell you they are actual Google users. And you can just tell the impact it has had on people's daily lives. If you think about the way search started on the web, it was really a place to look for documents and web pages. But Google has really grown a lot. We must have been doing something since 1998. And all of a sudden, there's a lot that you can do with Google. Here's a few of the things you can do with Google. You can track FedEx packages. You can look up weather. You can look for information about the Grateful Dead. You can look up stock information about General Electric. It's really gone from being a search tool purely to find documents and web pages to really being what I like to call an Uber command line interface to the world, which is really no surprise. It was invented by two Stanford PhD students, so why shouldn't it be like a command line interface? But the difference here is you don't need to know the syntax, you don't need to know the commands to make it useful. But all of a sudden, what used to be a simple search engine to find documents and web pages really became a fast front end to virtually any information you want to have out there. And that's really been the profound impact that's driven the success of our company. This is a quote from Ray Lane, Oracle's former president, at the Software 2006 conference. He's actually suggesting, in a rather crazy way, that enterprise software companies ought to consider delivering their technology to consumers and go survive that battle and see if you can make consumers happy as a way of getting yourself ready to bring it into the enterprise. A pretty radical approach, but consumer applications are getting into the enterprise one way or another. This is a quote from Ben Worthen, who writes for CIO Magazine, and he stirred up quite a controversy by suggesting that employees ought to be able to, in some sense, choose what technologies they use, and that they like to use the webmail or the communication devices they use at home, and why shouldn't they be able to use those at work? He wasn't really saying this. And just so it's clear, Google does not have any view that CIOs ought to abdicate all these decisions to users. We do have a view that the CIO has an opportunity to deliver these types of tools to their users to make them more productive. Just a few points here about something I think would benefit the enterprise technology market as a whole. The first is to realize that employees and consumers are actually the same people. It's really interesting to be where we sit because obviously most of us, what we do is known for consumers. So when our competitors sell against us, they say, it's very different. It's a completely different world and the users need something different. You know, the users are, they need this much more complex looking thing. And we generally say, well, users or employees are consumers. When they show up at work in the morning, they don't instantly turn into some form of information scientist that thrives on complexity. If you can deliver a simple application that does what the employee needs, they will gravitate toward it. Simple is good. Very simple is better. It is an incredibly difficult thing to accomplish, but it is the most powerful thing that you can do for end users.